Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's Monday morning, and that means it's time to check out what's on the agenda for the week ahead. We're joined by Marcus Mabry, Associate National Editor for our partner, The New York Times, and Charlie Herman, Economics Editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. We start with the big story of the morning, which is the weather. Charlie?
At least on the East Coast.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
So how big a deal is snowpocalypse for shopping just after Christmas?
Clearly, it's not good news for a lot of retailers here in the Northeast. It's not just the fact that the streets are covered in snow and that the people can't get to it in New York City per se, but for a lot of places where people drive, the roads are still blocked, the parking lots are still completely filled with snow. So it's a question of, even if they get the roads open, are the parking lots clear? Can people get in there? Do people say it's not even worth doing it? So something to worry about, but big picture, I think, you know, because of online sales, if people really want to shop, they could do that. If people want to return gifts, they still can do that at other times. So I don't think that long term this will have a big impact. It might have been much worse if it had happened before Christmas and people actually couldn't get out there and do their last minute Christmas shopping.
Getting personal, how was your commute this morning?
It was pretty snowy. I think at one point I almost fell into a snowbank and I was afraid of getting stuck there like some of the cars you see on the street, but made it in.
You're still dripping on the wires. You might want to just sit a little bit back from the desk. I don't want to get fried before the end of this show. President Barack Obama is preparing to reorganize his administration. So here's Press Secretary Robert Gibbs on CNN yesterday.
I don't expect, quite honestly, big changes. I think we've had a very capable and good cabinet that has helped move the president's agenda forward. I think there's obviously a lot that has to be done at Treasury to implement financial reform, at HHS to implement health care reform, and I think we have a very talented team.
Marcus Mabry, good morning. How was your commute from your bed to your telephone?
My commute was fine. My bigger problem is I only live about 8 blocks away from the Times, and so I don't think I really have any excuse not to get to work except for the fact that maybe my child care giver cannot come take care of my 2 1-year-old twins.
And the Times said that they'd love to see the twins this morning, so you need to get to work.
I'm thinking the same thing. I'm thinking if this is a good test of the twins and how hardy they are, if we can make it through the blizzard to the office, love to do it.
You could use the stroller as sort of a snowplow.
Yeah. I don't think the stroller is snow equipped.
So getting back to the news, what do you see the president doing in regards to the reshuffling of positions on his staff? Will we see any changes for 2011?
We will see lots of changes. We'll definitely see lots of personnel changes. We're going to have some major advisors like David Axelrod and you mentioned Robert Gibbs, who we just heard, the president's chief spokesman. He's definitely going to be going probably out to help the president from outside the White House to get reelected. At this point in the administration, especially after such a big drubbing in the midterms, you have to decide as administration, will the next 2 years be about governing or campaigning? Luckily for this president, he's kind of always been himself. He's never been some other guy as far as the man versus the president. So if he actually governs as he's governed, which is, you know, he's pushed through unpopular things, things like the health care reform, at least unpopular with the opposition, he did it anyway. Things like that his own people would have wanted, he didn't do some of them, although he got some things accomplished in that, you know, incredibly productive lame duck session. I think this week we're going to really get a sense, though, of who these people will be, who'll be replaced the outgoing folks. I actually don't expect major change. Maybe there'll be a Republican in there at some point, but he's already had Republicans. One person leaving this year will be the Secretary of Defense, Gates, who is a Republican. So he's already had Republicans. He's already tried to outreach to the other side. It's going to be interesting to see, who these people are, but I don't expect major changes at all, actually, in the direction the administration's been taking.
And I think probably to add to that might be that even if you see changes, I'm sure Marcus would agree to this, they're still going to keep to a lot of the same policies that they had before. So,
question about it.
When you look at it, especially from the economic point of view, I mean, once all is said and done, the big names that he had there, the only one left will be Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, as one of his original advisors. But some of the names that he's considering, for example, are Gene Sperling, who's basically has been an advisor to Geithner and has previously served in the role that Summers is leaving. So that's not a huge change in terms of the sort of people that he could theoretically be bringing in. So
kind of a flashback to the Clinton administration.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, another person being considered is Roger Altman, who is who created an small boutique investment bank here in New York. I mean, small is in comparison to J.P. Morgan Chase, for example, but still a very large one. But he himself was a former deputy treasury secretary in the Clinton administration as well. So a lot of people being considered are, you know, tried and true people who have been in politics before and have had these sorts of similar sorts of jobs before. So that's not signaling a huge change.
And Charlie and Marcus, conversations that you've had all year has been about healthcare. That's just been a theme for 2010. We're not done with it yet. Have a listen to Joe Biden yesterday.
She said, "I'm serious, Joey. What about these death panels?" I said, "Mom, it's hokum. Nobody anywhere, no panel is going to sit down and tell your doctor anything about how to care for you, where we're all going to get to at that end of life period."
And that, in fact, was Vice President Joe Biden speaking to seniors in Silver Spring, Maryland, about the end of life. And that was back in September, not yesterday. Marcus, how do you see the White House handling the death panel issue and other Medicare issues?
Well, it's interesting because, of course, the White House has issued a new rule for Medicare, actually, that as of January 1 will do some of the things that the opponents painted as death panels. It's really end-of-life counseling, advising patients before they're at a point where they can't make their own health decisions what might be the options at their end-of-life care, including palliative care or including care that does not include lots of medical interventions. Most medical experts say this is something that actually is necessary. It's not just a cost saving, but it's also more humane. You actually get the patient and the family's view more than you would if you just, you know, had doctors or someone else going without any directing patients' care without any input from the patient. So, in fact, you know, it'll be interesting to see. The White House clearly thinks they can get away with this rule by making an administrative change, a policy change, rather than something that the Congress would have to approve. It'll be interesting to see what happens this week as this news gets out. It was not known. Those who supported it in Congress and who had to have it stripped, see it stripped out of the health care reform legislation, they were aware of it. The White House alerted them, but they even told their own supporters and allies, "Let's not make a big deal about this. The closer we get to implementing it, you know, without a lot of media attention, the better." So I think the White House may get a lot of criticism on that score, too.
Right.
But it's interesting to see this week with Congress, you know, not around, what happens.
All right, Marcus, maybe you left us with a dot, dot, dot. Good luck with getting to work. Give us, send the twins a hug from us. Marcus Mabry, Associate National Editor for our partner, The New York Times, and also Charlie Herman, Economics Editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. He was in the studio.
I made it in.
Get warm, get dry. You're listening to The Takeaway with Femi Okeh.